WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A federal judge finds the Trump-Musk mass firings of federal probationary workers to likely be unlawful. Judge William Alsup in San Francisco says the Office of Personnel Management has zero authority and orders the head of the office to testify in court in 2 weeks. Labor unions and other groups sued. Discussing the Russian-Ukraine war, President Trump and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer at the White House.
The disaster in Ukraine shows exactly why it's so important for the United Kingdom and other NATO partners to make large investments in their defense capabilities. In many cases, 4% or 5% of GDP would be appropriate.
At least 13 people injured when a car rammed into a bus stop in northern Israel. Israeli officials say the driver was a Palestinian from the West Bank. Police investigating the deaths of Oscar winner Gene Hackman, his wife, and a dog in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Bodies found on the floor of their home. This is ABC News. Aid groups around the world are scrambling after more cuts by USAID despite a court ruling. Thousands of contracts are being scrapped.
Despite a federal judge ordering them to resume paying foreign aid, the Trump administration acknowledged this week that they still withheld nearly $2 billion from nonprofit groups. In exclusive audio obtained by ABC News, Peter Morocco, a top USAID and State Department official, can be heard boasting earlier this month about stopping the payments.
And so we were able to seize control of that, stop them, take control of some of those people, and make sure that that money was not getting out the door.
Late yesterday, the Supreme Court delayed the deadline for the Trump administration to pay those nonprofits more than $1.9 billion, requesting further briefing on the issue by Friday. Peter Haralambos, ABC News.
Singer Katy Perry headed into space, blasting off aboard next month's launch of Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin rocket, also aboard former TV correspondent Lauren Sanchez. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Will the Packers make a trade? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are open to trading away defensive back Jair Alexander after 7 years with the team. Meanwhile, 49ers receiver Deebo Samuel is asked to be traded. GM John Lynch.
We're on good terms with Deebo. I think, you know, he's asked for a fresh start, and, you know, I think we're going to honor that.
NBA, Bucks basketball tonight as they host the Denver Nuggets. Tomorrow they head to Dallas to play the Mavericks on Saturday. Baseball, Brewers manager Pat Murphy on convincing young players in Milwaukee can compete with teams with big contract players in the major leagues.
A lot of it is attitude, you know, your attitude about base running, your commitment to base running outside of stealing bases. The threat to steal is sometimes as effective as the stolen base. So we have to put pressure on other teams that way, put pressure on pitching staffs that way offensively, and I think we have the personnel to do that.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you weren't already aware, there will be a Shrek 5, and it will have a fresh-faced new star in the cast, according to Deadline.com. Zendaya will join the cast as Shrek's daughter. If you're scoring at home, that means she will play the offspring of Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz. Eddie Murphy will also be back as Donkey. Shrek 5 will be the first film in the franchise to hit theaters since 2010's Shrek Forever. The fifth installment is expected to grace our screens Christmas of 2026. The death of Gene Hackman will most likely be talked about for weeks to come in the entertainment business. Hackman and his wife Betsy were found dead in their New Mexico home Wednesday. Hackman quietly retired from acting in 2004 after appearing in the film Welcome to Mooseport. In a 2009 interview with Empire magazine regarding his retirement, Hackman revealed that the straw that broke the camel's back was his doctor telling him his heart could no longer handle excessive stress. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, a low close to 30 and becoming breezy. Wind advisory for tomorrow, gusts higher than 40 miles an hour at times, maybe a rain or snow shower, highs near 50. Cooler 30s for the weekend, but still mild for this time of year.
Right now it's 38.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is out, but I, Greg Bach, am your guest host for the day, and we have political editor Dan Schaefer recombobulating the news, and this shouldn't be a thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he didn't cut a dude, man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A karagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, great show yesterday, Haley. You guys really knocked it out of the park. I got FOMO. I was thinking about, you know, calling up and wrecking it a little bit. It was going so well.
Well, I got to shout you out, too, because you were the one who supplied us with that great guest, Ruth Ann Thorne, who is the producer and host of This is Indian Country, which will start airing on FNX, First Nations Experience, on March 3rd.
Yes, great job again, and great guest, and thank you for all the work you do for Native Roots Radio and, of course, the community. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Minneapolis Twin Cities in Minnesota. Always great to see you, Robert. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Bonjour. Hey, Haley. Nice to see you.
Hey, a lot of things going on the Avenue and at NACDI. Let's knock it out of the park and start talking about a few things happening, like tonight.
Yeah. And Haley, are you going to be at the opening? So we have a show opening at NACDI's gallery on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. So 1414 East Franklin, right off Powwow Grounds. There, and it's a former All My Relations Arts Gallery director. It's Rory Wakeemup. He is opening his show, Smart Wars, which is sort of a through line of his arts career for maybe the last 10 years, he was telling me. And you can see this sort of regalia based on sort of Star Wars concepts. And he has played this out in the community in many different ways, including participatory sort of live art, and it's really something. I was just in the office and looked into the gallery, and it has impact.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna make it out there after the show. I'm gonna fly, and hopefully my arms won't get tired when I fly there.
Thankfully it's not that far. Haley, you're going too, right?
We had talked about it. Yeah, I definitely am going to get over there. Yeah, it looks like a good one. And we got to support Rory, too. So Rory was on the show with Anna Negretti recently for the MMIR March, too, talking about that.
Yeah. He has been really involved in the MMIR March since his time as All My Relations Arts Gallery Director, and really built this relationship with the two kind of leading organizations in the state that center around issues of MMAR, Minnesota Indian Men's Sexual Assault Coalition and Minnesota Indian Men's Resource Center. And I got to tell you, it was really interesting, enjoyable to watch how he built these relationships. And he had this idea, right, for some art and community arts projects related to the issues of MMAR. But he felt very strongly that as a man, he shouldn't be leading this effort. And so he really approached those two organizations, MUSAC and MIWRC, very respectfully and really centered, you know, the women's voices and how this kind of shaped up. And you've seen some of the of that work throughout the years, right? Like the red dress signs that were so moving at the state capitol, and then people carrying them out, the most recent
march. His teepees. His teepees, too, are amazing.
Yes, teepees, right. So he is... He's this very, he operates at this very interesting intersection of art and activism, right? He's quite a strong environmental activist, a water protector, and others. And that really plays out in his art. And so much of it has a community focus.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I was going to bring that up, Robert, that it's really, Rory's a great example of activism and art. And we've seen that for hundreds and hundreds of years, and also in our community for a very long time. So he's one of those artists that is an activist too. And that's awesome. Always awesome.
I agree. And then during Standing Rock, he took a community art project up there that was really powerful, and it was called Mirror Shields. And it was shields with mirrors that you then they held up to the law enforcement and others that were harassing our relatives up there, so they could see themselves. They could see who was the real invader. And it was just really incredible, and it had such impact.
You're right. I remember that, being there and helping people put those together. That was an amazing idea.
It came from history somewhere, and I wish I was really quickly trying to see if I could find a historical context, but some sort of powerless kind of, as I remember it, and please, I'm not the historian here, but they did that with their shields and showed their enemy, you know, who was the real invader.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Really powerful. Hey, there's also things going on too. I want to, before I talk a little bit about the Minneapolis Parks Board meeting tonight, I want to jump in and talk about the things that you got going on. This really interests me, is the Maple Tapping Demo happening March 4th at 2 p.m. at South High in Minneapolis. You guys are doing that, and geez.
This is such a cool effort. And so we have our Four Sisters Food Sovereignty Initiatives. We have our Four Sisters Farmers Market in the season. And then also our Four Sisters Urban Farm. And so our farm manager, Gloria, has really had this interest in tapping maple trees. And she has been working it, man. She's educated herself. She's reached out to partners to identify potential tapping maple trees to tap. And so this is the first time we're doing this. There's some other urban sugaring going on here, but this is really, for us, it's our first venture into this. And so, like you said, March 4 South High, a demonstration. Gloria is always looking for more trees to tap in the area, but we've got some really good partnerships with private property owners, public sector, park board, schools. South High has their own program as well, but we've got a fire that's going to come down to cook the sap. So I think it's so cool.
That is cool. That is very cool. And Haley and I were kind of talking about that before the show too, because somebody gifted me an acre of land, and I was talking to Barry Hand, and we're going to do some tapping out there too. So that's really piques my interest. You know, that I got to ask you about this. We had Ruth Buffalo on, as we always do, Ruth Anna Buffalo, and we wanted to talk a little bit, if you could, about the Minneapolis Parks and Rec Board community meeting and the Red Bears, and that is happening too tonight from 6:30 to 8, I believe, Haley.
Yeah, and I know that make voting a tradition. Jolene Jones has been a big helper in this Red Bears Minneapolis Park thing going on. So Make Voting a Tradition did share that live link. I think they'll be streaming the meeting too. So if you want to find that, that's also on our Facebook page too.
Cool. And so this meeting tonight, it's interesting. This is a moving target, kind of, you know. And so the meeting tonight is part of this conversation, and then there's a bigger meeting on, and I'm looking at my Facebook feed. It's March 5th, if I'm not mistaken, but a big park board meeting. Tonight's meeting, I think, is more about the logistics or mechanics of how this new system of registering for sports might work. And if you're interested, maybe after the break, we can keep talking about it, because it's a complicated and nuanced a bit of colonization going on here.
Well, Robert, you're a true pro, and you saw that what time we had, and I was going to suggest that, so that's awesome. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, President, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we're going to talk a little more turkey here and a little more park board when we get back. This is Native Roots Radio. Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today. Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota History Center, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Redhorse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesotans are hardy. We don't let snow or ice get in our way. We have places to go, so making sure your vehicle is in prime shape for winter driving is so important. Take your vehicle to Rudy Luther Toyota for all your service needs. I was just there. I got my oil and filters replaced, and they did a complete safety check to make sure my vehicle can tackle winter. And they service all makes and models of vehicles. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com and use their super easy Toyota service schedule to set up your service appointment today. Rudy Luther Toyota, on the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, on the Franklin Corridor, the Native Corridor in Minneapolis, which Haley and I love to go visit all the time, and I guess we're going to be there tonight, too. Oh,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. At the All My Relations Arts Gallery. Rory Wakeham up opening. That should be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Hey, let's get a little bit before we, I know you're only going to be on for this segment here. I want to talk a little bit about maybe the history. We had Ruth Anna Buffalo on who spoke because her twins play for the Red Bears, but maybe we could just do a little overview again of what's happening in the parks and why it may be detrimental to our communities.
Yeah, thanks. And actually, I'll be seeing Ruth tonight. She'll be at the event that I have to leave here for, so that'll be good. I can check in with her. Always a pleasure to share space. And I hear, from what I hear, she's a pretty fierce basketball player herself.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Very competitive, I've heard. So that's cool. But so the situation here is that we have a team called the Red Bears, a basketball team, kind of centered around the Little Earth of United Tribes community here. The coach, Mukwa Roberts, is a Little Earth resident, and he's just done this amazing thing and built these really quality athletes, co-ed team, out of the community. And they've played within the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board system for years. And they sign up as a team, they play as a team. It's about much more than just playing basketball, right? It's about building community. It's about building leadership in the community. It's about building up young boys and girls to be community, to have community pride. I mean, it's really something. The community supports Red Bears, really feels a lot of love and pride for them. And our Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board has decided to change the way that they register young people for park programs. And so the Red Bears are no longer allowed to register as a team. They have to register as individuals, and then the park system will place them in a team. And so it means that they won't necessarily, or unlikely, well, they'll actually play as a team together. Mm-hmm. And the part of the Red Bears' success to date is that it's native, right?
Right.
It's native kids playing with native kids. They grow to respect each other. And so it really kind of goes contrary to the whole point here. And there are other communities, BIPOC communities, that are dissatisfied with this new approach. Because
right.
to these other communities like ours, it's about building community through these activities. So there's been a lot of organizing in the community. There's been a lot of media coverage on this, mainstream media coverage, if folks are interested mm-hmm. in reading more. And one of the things that really tripped my trigger was a quote in a Minnesota Public Radio story where it was uncredited, but it said the park board said, or the Parks and Rec say, that they contest that a more efficient system of registration creates a barrier. And it just gives this real kind of like, we know what's best for you feel, this real colonizer feel. And so a lot of groups like the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, of which I'm a member, are voicing our collective opposition
yeah.
to this. There's a meeting tonight, it's on Zoom. My understanding, I'm talking to Jolene Jones, community leader, an organizer here, is that this is more to teach people how to use this new system tonight. But I think there's an intent to have a visible presence of the opposition communities here. And then there's a bigger park board, and my Facebook froze up, so I can't get to the date. I don't know if you have it, Haley, but we're organizing toward a big public park board meeting next week. And there'll be a lot of community there.
Well, it was interesting, too, that Ruth Anna Buffalo said that somebody had asked that testified if anyone was for this, and the whole area said no. All the
right.
people that were there said no. And
right.
so, again, that weird, icky feeling about we know better than you do doesn't slide well with us.
No, it doesn't. And it does feel like the park board and the park system is being kind of tone deaf here. And even the way this language they are using really parallels sort of the colonizing language. And mm-hmm. and it's like, can you even hear the community? You know, mm-hmm. it's not about efficiency of process for you, administrative process and bureaucrats. For us, it's about the hard work of building community and restoring pride and restoring tradition and all of these things that were disrupted deliberately through forced assimilation, colonization, genocide. And so it's not so easy as just a registration system for us.
Right. It sounds really weird. Yeah. Jeez. So, yeah, I don't know if Haley found the date, but it's interesting that the community is saying what it, you know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of the DNR telling us what's good for us when we
right.
say, hey, we want clean water. And it's like, well, we can still put a pipeline under there and it, you know, and not listen to people that are really invested in the area where the pipeline's going. It's just icky.
It's icky. It's all related. I agree. It feels related to us anyway, you know, right?
Yeah.
And we're the experts in our own destiny. And yeah, so I am hopeful that ultimately we'll have at least a temporarily satisfying outcome of this process, just because so much community is getting involved. I mean, it's become a great flashpoint, organizing point in the community. And I think if we can fill the park board chambers next week, you know, I think there'll be response.
Well, I want to, and I know there's only a few minutes left here too, but I also want to maybe not get too deep in the woods, but I'd love to talk about the lieutenant governor and what's happening there. I know we've been on since she officially made it, but how can we, I mean, it's a couple of years, right, before the election? Is that
Yeah,
is that
it's right? Election right is in 2027, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Is that right? So, at the end of this term.
Right. So it's two more years. So it's either the end of 26 or the beginning of 27. But
Don't
make
me do math, please. but our very respected and good friend of the community, U.S. Senator Tina Smith, has announced that she will step down at the end of this term, her current term. And our very well-respected Ojibwe sister, Peggy Flanagan, our lieutenant governor, was ready to announce that she plans to run for this seat. I give Peggy a lot of credit for being first in politics. That matters a lot. And so she's got a campaign together. She announced that she was running, and then about a week later, just a few days ago, officially announced
the
campaign. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how that campaign is shaping up. Like you say, we have some time, which is good. But this would be she would be the first Native woman governor in this country's history.
You know, and it's really cool too that when Governor Walz,
I shouldn't say governor. I'm sorry, senator.
Yeah,
she'll be the first Native woman senator.
Well, it was really cool when she was stepping in for the governor when he was running for vice president. And you can just see that she has it and there's no doubt about it. And anyone that doubts it, just see what's happened there. And I see the lieutenant governor all around, and it's bipartisan. And it's also not just, you know, it's with the whole community. She's there for everybody. It's just she's amazing and smart. And we could do you know, have her would be just awesome.
Agree. And she just has this, she's like magical about how she can relate to people, regular Minnesotans, right? And really hear their challenges and their struggles and then translate that into real action, right? Within government to address those issues, those needs. I saw her do it when she was a school board member, when she was a state house member. Yep. As lieutenant governor, and I expect to see that when she's our senator.
Right. Yeah. Well, oh, here we go.
Thank you, Haley. Yep. So that's March 5th, right, up at the Park Board building. And there was a good showing for the last Park Board meeting, and I think if there's a good showing for this one, I hope there's movement. I hope there's movement on this.
And I like how this poster states it, too. Everyone plays. So if you don't get picked on a team with the way that they want to do it, then people get left out, it seems like, by that. Stand up for our youth.
Right.
Well, I know you got to get going, Robert, and I know who you're meeting with, so give him a big shout out to me and hand him one of my business cards. And we haven't had him on the air for, a few years.
Am I on the payroll now? Am I on the payroll?
Always.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A federal judge finds the Trump-Musk mass firings of federal probationary workers to likely be unlawful. Judge William Alsup in San Francisco says the Office of Personnel Management has zero authority and orders the head of the office to testify in court in 2 weeks. Labor unions and other groups sued. Discussing the Russian-Ukraine war, President Trump and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer at the White House.
The disaster in Ukraine shows exactly why it's so important for the United Kingdom and other NATO partners to make large investments in their defense capabilities. In many cases, 4% or 5% of GDP would be appropriate.
At least 13 people injured when a car rammed into a bus stop in northern Israel. Israeli officials say the driver was a Palestinian from the West Bank. Police investigating the deaths of Oscar winner Gene Hackman, his wife, and a dog in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Bodies found on the floor of their home. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Will the Packers make a trade? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are open to trading away defensive back Jair Alexander after 7 years with the team. Meanwhile, 49ers receiver Debo Samuel is asked to be traded. GM John Lynch.
Yeah, we're on good terms with Debo. I think, you know, he's asked for a fresh start, and, you know, I think we're going to honor that.
NBA, Bucks basketball tonight as they host the Denver Nuggets. Tomorrow they head to Dallas to play the Mavericks on Saturday. Baseball, Brewers manager Pat Murphy on convincing young players in Milwaukee can compete with teams with big contract players in the major leagues.
A lot of it is attitude, you know, your attitude about base running, your commitment to base running outside of stealing bases. The threat to steal is sometimes as effective as the stolen base. So we have to put pressure on other teams that way, put pressure on pitching staffs that way offensively, and I think we have the personnel to do that.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The legendary Gene Hackman has passed away at the age of 95. If you haven't already heard, Hackman, his wife Betsy Arakawa, a classically trained pianist, and the couple's dog were found in their New Mexico home. Authorities say they had been dead for a while. Hackman was the star of films like The French Connection, The Poseidon Adventure, Mississippi Burning, The Conversation, and Hoosiers. The late great Hackman moved to Pasadena, California in 1952 after he got out of the Marines and met Dustin Hoffman at the Pasadena Playhouse, where both were voted least likely to succeed. Seems like a pretty cruel award to give to another adult. Despite not having leading man looks, Hackman says he never cared about that and just wanted to act in any capacity. Hackman retired from acting in 2004 and moved to New Mexico, where he became involved in the arts community and wrote books. Gene Hackman is quite often referred to as the greatest American actor. He won Oscars for his role in The French Connection and Unforgiven. Gene Hackman was 95. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, a low close to 30 and becoming breezy. Wind advisory for tomorrow, gusts higher than 40 miles an hour at times, maybe a rain or snow shower, highs near 50. Cooler 30s for the weekend, but still mild for this time of year. Right now it's 33.
Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important are we, is it to, for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director and driving force behind the film Green and Gold, Anders Lindwall. Comedian James Connolly and Max Inc. co-host Terry Barr joins us for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
It's funny, they paid the bumper for the governor, and I have FOMO now, a double FOMO.
Oh.
But we have our own governor, too. Again, we want to give a shout-out to Civic Media. We're all over Wisconsin, too, and, of course, the great state of Minnesota and Illinois, Michigan. And so we're really excited. Well, we have our own governor and our own governor update here, Haley. And why don't we take a listen to the governor with his weekly update, the governor of Wisconsin, the great Tony Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. More Wisconsinites are working than ever before, but paychecks today aren't going nearly as far as they used to. I'm really concerned President Trump's 25% tariff tax will not only hurt our farmers, ag industries, and our economy, but it will cause prices to go up on everything from gas to groceries and make it even harder for Wisconsinites to make ends meet. Wisconsinites need a leg up to be able to finally get ahead on utility bills, on childcare costs, on groceries, medication, and doctor visits, and everything in between. And we've got a plan just to do that. My plan will provide nearly $2 billion in tax relief through efforts to lower property taxes, eliminate the sales tax on several everyday expenses, and cut income taxes for middle-class Wisconsinites, including homeowners, renters, veterans, and seniors. First, my plan holds a line on property taxes by making meaningful investments in our K-12 schools and creating a new incentive for local governments to freeze their local property taxes. If local governments agree not to raise local property taxes, they'll get a direct payment from the state, ensuring that they can still afford to pay for local needs without property taxes going up. And we can do more. I'm proposing to eliminate the sales tax on electricity and gas for Wisconsin homes. Let's also make sure Wisconsinites can keep more money in their pockets. I'm proposing to nearly double Wisconsin's personal income tax exemption. That means Wisconsinites will pay no income taxes on the first $1,200 they earn, period. Let's work together to eliminate the tax on cash tips. And by building upon our homestead tax credit, my new property tax and rent rebate will provide nearly $150 million in tax relief for about 165,000 homeowners and renters across our state. I'm asking Republicans and Democrats to work together to pass my comprehensive plan to lower everyday out-of-pocket costs for working families. So let's get this done, folks. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Well, thanks, Governor Evers. Haley, they're so lucky to have the governor there. All the things that he gave in this report make so, so much sense.
Yeah, I don't know where Wisconsin would be, especially under this new president. You know, Wisconsin's farm country. Yeah. That's a lot of what it is agriculture and farming. So really to protect our farmers from and all Wisconsin families from those tariffs and everything and the increase in gas, groceries, everything.
Cheese. Don't forget cheese.
Cheese, that's a big one for those
Wisconsinites. It really is, right. Yeah. Hey, there's another thing, too, that, you know, we haven't really talked a lot about, but I'm going to talk about it the rest of the segment here, Haley, and that's like, what's going to happen tomorrow and you know, if you need essentials, buy them today. Tomorrow, the boycott begins. And
I saw that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like is that a worldwide or is it a national wide?
Well, I don't think it's worldwide. I think it's a response to what's going on in the Trump administration and with all the rich people that own, you know, whether it's Teslas or Facebook or, you know, Amazon, all these billionaires that are just getting richer and richer off of us. It's an economic blackout. And before I give you the information about it, it's really interesting that what's happened without, at least to my knowledge, I've only seen a few things that people were really angry with Target. And, you know, we really don't go to Target as it is, but they lost $15 billion in 1 month.
Yeah.
So these kind of things, that's what they're talking about, is hurting these rich companies out there that we're not happy with them and we're not happy with what they're doing. And, you know, it's just going to be a first strike of solidarity. So that's Friday, February 28th. I got this thing here. I just want to read, Haley, and it's called an economic blackout from 12 a.m. to, you know, it's all day, 24 hours. You know, it's the official act. Turn it off for one day. We show them who really holds the power and what not to do. Do not make any purchases. Do not shop online or in store. No Amazon, no Walmart, no Best Buy, nowhere. McDonald's, none. And it says, do not spend money on food, fast food, gas, major retailers. Do not use credit or debit cards for non-essential spending. That's interesting. Mm. And what you can do, if necessary, only buy essentials of absolutely necessary items such as food, medicine, emergency supplies. If you must spend, only support small and local businesses. Now, I really like that, too, that they're talking about that.
Yeah, Allison, one of our daily Facebook watchers, too, said that I've seen some small business owners arguing to not boycott them tomorrow, including Mukwa Coffee out of Roseville, which is owned by former Representative Jimmy Becker Finn. And yes, that's a good point. So still support small businesses.
Right. Great point. Yeah. And spread the message like we're doing. Talk about it. Post about it. Document your actions that day or lack of actions. And then why this matters. Corporations and banks only care about the bottom line. If we disrupt the economy for just one day, it sends a powerful message. I'm all about that.
Yeah, the ripple effect of everyone who doesn't shop can really add up and make a big difference.
Too, Haley, you know, I'm too young to know about the bus boycott, you know, that Dr. Martin Luther King did. But that took a long time to get together. We have the internet now where we can do these boycotts pretty darn quick. And what I noticed, too, in the last, since we've been on the air, too, is that all the updates that we can get quickly now and get people in action quickly, and Standing Rock was a really good example of that for me and Wendy, what to bring, what not to bring, how the supplies, what do we, you know, if you plan on getting arrested, all those things, they happen, that information happens quick, and there's people letting you know via the internet, whether it's mass emails or Facebook, or, you know, use their own power against them, I guess, is posting this stuff on Facebook, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, this boycott is just one day tomorrow, hopefully. And Lori, too. Lori is one of our Facebook watchers. She said we should do this all the time regardless.
Right.
And, yeah, we can do that. And you could do that, like Allison said, by supporting locally owned BIPOC businesses all the time. Kind of like start with a one day thing. Make it a short, you know, achievable goal that you can switch over to. And then in the long run, kind of make it more of a everyday thing.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because the next line is here. If they don't listen, we make the next blackout longer. This is our first action. Our numbers are powerful. This is how we make history. And then it says, share that message. And that's what we're doing here on Native Roots Radio, because, you know, things need to be talked about, and we need to resist, and we got to get those shirts out again, Haley, and jackets and hats. And that's where we're at right now. That's what we can do. These are the things we can do when, our politicians fail us and aren't getting arrested and aren't standing down like maybe they should be. But that's a whole nother show to talk about that.
It is. That could be a whole show on its own. Yeah. Speaking of politicians who, you know, sometimes go in a different route than we would expect them to, such as pipelines. I know you brought up the Dakota Access Pipeline. And since we're on the news of Trump, I just want to say that Trump posted, I think this is on Tuesday, but indigenous.tv on Instagram also was covering this. Trump wants to revive Keystone XL, which is the highly controversial pipeline that President Biden canceled in 2021 after legal challenges from tribal nations. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump said that our country is, quote, is doing really well. And today I was just thinking that the company building the Keystone XL pipeline that was viciously incompetent Biden administration should come back to America and get it built. Build it now.
And aren't they Canadian too, like Enbridge? I'm not sure.
Oh my goodness.
Enbridge is Canadian and he wants to take over Canada.
Get me started on Enbridge, because Indian Country Today just put out a couple days ago an article saying how they were interviewing Enbridge workers and they were explaining about how they were an ethical business.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's all this misinformation out there. You know, one of the things that you mentioned Trump, and I didn't want to get into this, but I'm going to now. And it's that America lost 3 million jobs in the last 30 days. Think about that, you know, and they'd be impeaching Biden if that happened while he was president.
Yeah. I thought we were supposed to be like creating jobs here and not taking jobs away from people. And what did Trump say too? That he wanted to give rich other billionaires from other countries kind of like a card to come spend their money here or something.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because they're deporting immigrants. So it just kind of goes to say that they want rich white men here.
Right. Well, here's another poster I have on my Facebook, economic boycott, and it talked about, you know, no Amazon, Walmart, Target, fast food, gas. And it says, okay, small business and try to use cash. And that makes sense, too, because then you got the bank out of the loop, too. That's something I got to remember, too, if I end up going out tomorrow.
Yeah. Or tonight. I wonder, could you go, like, fill up your gas tank and do all that tonight?
It is.
Like,
it is
pull your cash from the ATM.
Elliot, you know, I don't go anywhere now. I mean, it's difficult for me to put on hard pants and go out into public now. I really have to, like...
Is it because it's getting dark out and you're scared?
No, it's just I'm used to not leaving the house from the pandemic.
Oh, jeez.
But I am a little scared. Yeah, jeez, still. Well, to me, it's all perspective. I was going to say it's a long time, but then it should be longer for somebody younger. So that blows that theory. Hey, let's remember economic boycott. And that there's a list of more of them, too, that will come up that are coming up in the next month and two. So there's other boycotts happening, and we support that. And like, if you can, get out and get some supplies. And tomorrow, if you have to, talk to small businesses and use cash if you can. Cash is king.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today. Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota History Center, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Redhorse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Good howl there, Wendy. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, since she was a little wee little baby. And she is a founder of Native Roots Radio. And also, I just want to wish you a happy ninth season.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And so it's always my pleasure to do that. You know, I've been watching on social media really horrific videos of the wildfires in Los Angeles right now in California. I want to give a shout out to the animal shelters out there. There's a couple of them who were able to take in animals and help people who had to flee. And for whatever reason, they couldn't take their pet. So they're like, you know, hanging on to their pets. One in Palisades took over 100 animals. And so I just want to give them a shout out for that amazing, really, work. I mean, that's something else. You know, I saw a video of a man outside of his home that was literally like burning down, and the firefighters were there. Some of the firefighters were on the roof. Some of them were in the house. So just trying to, I don't know why they just don't let the house, I don't know. I mean, the house was just burning down, but the guy was crying because his cat was in the house.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man.
Firefighter went in and got the cat.
Oh,
and there's video of the firefighter handing the cat to the guy, and the guy is just sobbing, you know, just so happy, like literally fell to his knees and was sobbing that he had his cat with him, and the cat was okay. But you know, the fire and the flames, and you could just see the wind and all the ash and embers just flying around, and it's just unbelievable. Like, my heart goes out to these people. And there was another video too of these two people, a man and woman, and they were walking down the road with their horses. Did you see that? And the wind was blowing, and the embers, and
I'd like to know what time of day that was. It looked like night.
They were with their horses and just, you know, taking care of their animals and making sure. I mean, horses, you have to either have, you know, one of those big trailers for. I mean, these are animals that are like 1,000 pounds. Like, what do you do with it? It's not like a, like our little Wanda, we just scoop her up in our arms and take her with you. You know, these are animals that are thousands of pounds. And
Miley Cyrus, when she was in living in California a few years ago before the pandemic, and she lost all of her horses in a wildfire.
How heartbreaking. Could you imagine just feeling so hopeless and helpless?
You
can't help those animals. It's just, it's really horrific. So I just want to give everyone, you know,
shout out
and, if you can, take your animals with you. Don't, you know, leave them behind. And, you know, of course, there's footage of, you know, deer running and, you know, wildlife running. A lot of the stuff that I read, you know, said the animals will just flee and run. Of course, some of them will get hurt and perish. But then what happens is they run from the wildfires and they run into areas where it's populated and people are, you know. So then they run into problems with that, you know, so
exactly.
It's just, yeah.
It's climate change. I mean, those 100-mile-an-hour winds, what the heck?
Santa Ana winds, yeah. That's just fueling the fire and just literally fueling this fire that's just burning. And tomorrow, they say today and tomorrow, the winds are supposed to pick up and it's even supposed to get worse. So you'll have to watch more tonight about it. But yeah, just hope all these animals and the people, it's just, yeah. It's just horrible. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've come to the year's end. 2024 is gone. You know, it's
our eighth season, and now we're in our ninth season.
Wow, that's amazing.
I was a young man when we started this.
Yeah. That's amazing. I can't believe it's been that long. It's good. You're pretty popular, you guys.
Oh, Wendy, you were one of the founders.
Yeah, wow.
Remember that? Uncle Curtis.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Dega Curtis.
David Curtis, who named me Hanaji Hihani.
He would do a prayer before every show.
Yeah. He would smudge.
And then he had a segment, too.
Yeah. Those are the good old days, you know. Those are the good old days. We used to go to Eden Prairie into the studio.
The basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic, yeah. It's amazing how life has changed since the pandemic. But you know, every year I talk about, you know, of course, the Humane Society of the United States, and every Humane Society Legislative Fund, which is Humane Society of the United States, they come out with what is called the Humane Scorecard. Humane Scorecard.
Yeah, that's always handy.
Yeah, if people want to go on. It's the 2024 Humane Scorecard, and you could go on and see how your representatives and legislated voted on animal issues.
Yeah.
I took a quick peek. Betty McCollum is 100%. Like, she is like a champion for all animal issues, and we really need her on our side.
And a big Native, you know, proponent, which really is awesome to hear, too.
Yeah, she's awesome. And anytime we call her office or ask her to sign off on humane legislation, she always does. And she's really good. You could see when you open up the scorecard, you could look at your state and see who voted for the animals and who voted against the animals. And it's really something else to just watch and look at, because you could see the people who didn't vote for any animal legislation are mostly all Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad. Yeah. Except there's one guy in Pennsylvania who's a really good champion for animals, who is a Republican. All the rest are just, you know, terrible. I hate to even ask this, because I'm going to say this to everybody. I was always a news snob. Like, I was always up on the news, watching the news, reading the paper. You know, I opened up the New York Times, the Washington Post every morning, see what was going on.
Good.
Knew what was going on in our Minnesota House and legislator, and I've been, since the election, I've been like hiding under a rock, really. Been trying, not knowing anything. So I know, like, our government in Minnesota is might lose our trifecta, right? So we've lost it,
and then we had we're a tie in the Senate now because of the passing of one of senators.
Yeah.
And then it's up in the air because there was a Democrat that didn't live in the district that they have to redo that election. And it's a matter of when. But right now, it's not even, because it was even. And they were going to share all the chairperson's roles. But now the Republicans don't want to do that because this person, now they have the advantage.
Yeah.
So right now it's tied. You have the governor who can, you know, veto bad bills. And then the legislative part is up in the air, really, as of right now.
You know, every year.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Our old friend Peter Ray Fine of EPOM's World is in with a wacky week in review, and Mr. Zomers rolls on a board game of the week. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A federal judge finds the Trump-Musk mass firings of federal probationary workers to likely be unlawful. Judge William Alsup in San Francisco says the Office of Personnel Management has zero authority and orders the head of the office to testify in court in 2 weeks. Labor unions and other groups sued. Discussing the Russian-Ukraine war, President Trump and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer at the White House.
The disaster in Ukraine shows exactly why it's so important for the United Kingdom and other NATO partners to make large investments in their defense capabilities. In many cases, 4% or 5% of GDP would be appropriate.
At least 13 people injured when a car rammed into a bus stop in northern Israel. Israeli officials say the driver was a Palestinian from the West Bank. Police investigating the deaths of Oscar winner Gene Hackman, his wife, and a dog in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Bodies found on the floor of their home. This is ABC News.